to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
We are continuing with our lesson on understanding the needs of our times. So you can call this Understanding the Needs of Our Times, Part 2. So we shall go back again and look at the same scripture that we read during the last lesson for the sake of continuity. And that was in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. Let us read that again. And when they were come, pardon me, let's begin that again. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And when the disciples, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. We looked at different things in the last lesson. We looked at the desperation of the Father. We moved on to look at the physical manifestation in the boy, which had a spiritual cause. And we also looked at the disappointment of the Savior. So today we move on to look at the rebuke of the Savior. Notice the rebuke of the Savior. Christ rebuked his disciples for their ineffectiveness in ministry, as we looked at it last lesson. As Christ rebuked his disciples, he had three or four major concerns for his disciples in his rebuke. We are going to look at three major ones, and then we shall finalize with what he culminated it with. One that encompassed all the three. So that will make our fourth. And these three that we are about to look at today are issues that still rob anybody who desires to serve God of the power and of the effectiveness of ministry. These three things will rob. They will rob you of power. They will rob you of effectiveness in ministry. What are these? Number one, we want to look at faithlessness. Christ rebuked his disciples for their faithlessness. Christ noted with concern that he was dealing with a faithless and perverse generation. This is depicted in what he said. O faithless and perverse generation. In essence, Christ was pointing to an inconsistency in their lives. Despite their being with him, Christ would look at them and say, you are still untrustworthy. That is because the disciples had been around the dynamic power of all times, the power to transform any human heart, to transform any human condition. They had had those moments of lapsing in unbelief. You know, Christ would look at them, if you look at the meaning of the words that he used here, It's like he was looking at his disciples and wondering, why have you become agnostic again? Why have you become disloyal? Why is your commitment to the truth not showing up? It's like so many eyes are looking to you. What is going on here? But we can say that their faithlessness blinded their hearts and it robbed them of the treasure of having God's power. And you know, when you get to that stage, according to Christ, then you are perverted. Why would we say that? It is because despite what was available and made so obvious to them, they were still walking contrary to the expectations. They were not operating in that power that surrounded them. And Christ would point it out because it was a choice they had to make. Step back and think about it. How could they lack power when they had access to the source of mighty power? What reason did they have to disappoint those who were really in need of their help when they were right there with the Master? You know, faithlessness takes your eyes off God. Faithlessness focuses on other things. Faithlessness is what says, I know God is mighty, but I don't know that He can work on my behalf. Or I don't know if He can work through me. Faithlessness reduces your dependence on God. It makes you become very wary of waiting on God. And then it forces you to do something for yourself. It forces you to tap into your own inability, your own little strength. Faithlessness detaches you from the source of power in your life. And it makes you become an observer. It makes you become a spectator. That is where the disciples found themselves that day. Standing with a needy boy, standing before the crowd, instead of being those who are engaged in the work and offering hope, offering solutions to the situations that surrounded them, they were spectating, they were waiting, they were hopeless. Faithlessness makes you long for what you could have had, but it blocks your path from walking towards it. The Bible clearly tells us that it is impossible to walk with God without faith. It is impossible to have God's power in your life without faith. You will not minister in God's power without faith. In fact, you will not be effective in whatever you want to do if you are faithless. If you cannot believe fully that God is exactly who He says He is, and that He has the power to do what He says He will, then you are faithless. It is no wonder the Bible records in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, as Christ looking at His own disciples and asking, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth?" So the disciples are charged here, or they are rebuked by the Savior for their faithlessness. And not only are they rebuked for their faithlessness, but number two, Christ rebukes them for their spiritual immaturity. What is the mark of spiritual growth, if we may ask? You know, when does God consider you to be a spiritually mature Christian or a spiritual baby? Have you thought about it? How long does it take or how long do you need to be a Christian before you can attain spiritual maturity? You know, Christ expressed a lot of disappointment in the duration that he had been with the disciples and the corresponding results. "How long shall I be with you?" he asked. But what exactly was Christ telling them? You know, I believe that encompassed in that one question were several other questions. Within that question, Christ was asking, "Have I not been with you long enough to learn? Shall you maintain your spiritual immaturity for forever? Isn't it about time to mature and be dependable?" Christ was asking, "Can I depend on you to carry on this ministry? Can the world actually be assured of help when I'm absent? Do you lack that? Do you lack what the world is desperately looking for?" But you know, the question that Christ posed to his disciples is the exact same question that faces us as a church, as Christians today. Christ looks at us today and asks the exact same questions. Why? It's because any Christian who walks in spiritual diapers longer than necessary disappoints God. A Christian who remains a baby, a Christian who lacks spiritual maturity, is going to hurt the cause of Christ. He is going to disappoint the people who need help. Your spiritual immaturity is going to leave the world around you hurting. It is going to keep people enslaved. It is going to keep people oppressed under the chains of Satan. This is because spiritual immaturity keeps you powerless. It is going to leave you very carnal. It is going to leave you very indifferent. You know, children don't care to know where or from, you know, where or how their needs are going to be met. According to children, it is somebody else's responsibility. As long as their needs are met, who really cares? It is of no concern to them. You know, this mentality is still prevalent to all those who embrace spiritual growth, who won't embrace spiritual growth. Let me rephrase that. That childish mentality is going to be found in anybody's life who does not embrace spiritual growth. If you are not going to grow as a Christian, then you will not care to shoulder any spiritual responsibility. You're not going to stop and think of how your lack of power is going to affect other people. As a spiritually mature Christian, you will not embrace what it takes to get hold of Christ. You're going to be careless. Instead, you're going to keep depending on other people to nourish you spiritually. You're going to depend so much on other people to fight your spiritual battles. And you'll also depend on other people to constantly minister to your spiritual needs and to minister to the spiritual needs of others. You are going to detach yourself from the ministry and look at it like somebody else's responsibility. But I would like to challenge you to step out and test of God. I want you to test and see what he can do in your own life. You know, you can be a Christian for years, you can be a Christian for decades, and still be very spiritually immature in the things of God. But there is also a way you can move from being a spiritual, immature Christian into becoming a reliable, a dependent Christian, one with whom God can entrust responsibilities. There is nobody who is held in one stage permanently. You too, who is listening today, you can operate in the power of God. God can use you to bring healing, to bring change, to bring transformation in the lives of other Christians and in the world of those around you. How does he do this? Or what do you need to do so that this can happen? You begin by embracing spiritual growth. You know, as a newborn babe, you begin by desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God. This is how we begin to grow. You can read that in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. There is something very special about cutting your teeth on the Word of God. When any Christian willingly embraces the Word of God, when any Christian willingly desires the Word of God, he loves it and longs for it and desperately feeds on it, meditates and memorizes it, and then begins to practice it. God opens your mind to understand. God draws you towards himself. God puts your path on a road of spiritual growth, and he also puts your feet on a road of blessing, so that those you encounter never remain the same. Why? It's because you have something for their situation at all times. So you begin by embracing spiritual growth. You see, God uses his Word as a basic foundation to open our hearts and our minds to understand, to comprehend, and even conceptualize other forms of knowledge. It has been found, and you'll find it very true. Ask any mother, any father who has been very close to their children and governed them in the ways of God. You're going to find that when you sharpen your heart, when you sharpen your mind on the Word of God, learning other concepts becomes easier. God has his own way of using his Word as a formative way of opening other pathways to knowledge. It is no wonder the Bible tells us that he gives knowledge, he gives wisdom, he gives understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. So he quickens, he sharpens the mind. He prepares us to receive and understand other concepts. It is practically true that when you study God's Word, it is not going just to mature you in spiritual things, but it is going to add knowledge. It is going to add wisdom. It is going to add understanding. It will add discernment. It is going to add decisiveness in your own life. God's Word, as you embrace it and embrace spiritual growth, is going to help you become well-rounded. It will bring a balanced individual out of you. Put yourself to the test. Teach your children to read. Teach your children to meditate. Teach your children to memorize and to recite God's Word from their very formative, tender years. And you're going to be a witness of the transformational change that God is going to have in their lives, not just in their character, but also in their ability to learn, in their ability to grasp, in their ability to comprehend, in their ability to understand, in their ability to synthesize other kinds of information and go through life well-rounded individuals. You see, babies begin by desiring milk. When a child is born, they begin by relying also entirely on milk. But this stage stops after a few months, after birth. After the first 3 months, a baby then begins to gradually get wind of the milk, and new foods are introduced to him. They begin with semi-solid foods, and then those semi-solid foods give way to more solid stuff. And then before long, that little baby turns into a toddler, and by that time they can grab foods. They can feed themselves. You look at them and you're like, wow, is this really my little baby that I have been spoon-feeding all the time? Why? Because with time, they actually begin to chew on tougher foods. You'll find them eating carrots. You'll find them chewing on meat. You'll find them licking and biting on those little bones. But likewise, every Christian has to also wean themselves from spiritual milk and then move on to solid food as they follow Christ. When you do this, growth looks or seems almost automatic. As long as you're plugged in Christ, and as long as you're listening to the wooing of God, and you're following the nudging of the Spirit, you are dwelling in the Word, you're listening to Him, you're studying. As God woos you, as He guides, as He directs, and He leads you into paths of righteousness, you find you are also making very substantial steps in your spiritual growth. You find yourself growing, moving from a spiritual baby in diapers into a grown man, a grown woman in the things of God. Yet the opposite is also true. A dullness of mind, if you are looking at God's word half-heartedly, if you find that you are very disinterested, you are constantly distracted from your purposes, and your spiritual senses are just very dull, then your spiritual growth goes without saying that it is also going to be very stunted. It is going to be retarded. It is not going to grow. It is not going to flourish. And that is when faithlessness, that is when perversion of heart and mind are also going to really creep in. Yet, it is almost like a vicious cycle. You also find the same faithlessness, the same perversion of heart is also going to stop the spiritual growth of learning. But the Christian who continues to use milk becomes very skillful. And the opposite is also true. A Christian who continually uses spiritual milk when they should go past using their spiritual milk, if they need to move on to other foods, spiritual foods, then they become unskilled. A Christian who embraces growth is going to move on to maturity as he follows and even obeys God. You're going to find that you'll stick closer to Him. Your senses are going to grow. You're going to you'll begin to discern good and evil. That is what spiritual meat does. If you only feed on spiritual milk, then you can find that what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 to 14 is very, very true also. If you look at also what the Bible says in verse 12, it's like you find your line right there. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which by the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Your true spiritual growth is evident in the way you're going to handle what surrounds you. It is also seen in the way you exercise your spiritual senses. It becomes very obvious in your choices. The ability to choose right from wrong, the ability to choose good from bad, reveals the level of spiritual maturity. It also reveals the extent to which God's presence and power reside in your life. So Christ was looking at His disciples and cautioning them of spiritual immaturity. He was cautioning them of faithlessness. I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk with God. Can God look at you and say, yes, you're growing? Or can you also look at yourself and with honesty of heart say, I am stagnant. I'm not growing. Can you look at yourself and say, yes, just like it happened in the days of Christ, my spiritual immaturity is hurting the church. My spiritual immaturity is hurting my family. My spiritual immaturity is hurting those whom I need to be ministering to. We shall pick up the two other aspects of Christ's concern in our next lesson. but let us commit our lives to Christ in prayer. As we bow down before God in prayer, ask God to help you. Ask God to search your heart. He knows everything, but allow Him to search every corner of your heart. Allow His Spirit to woo you unto Himself. God does not want you to remain a spiritual baby. He wants you to grow. It is for your good that He is offering the spiritual meat. Even the lesson today is not spiritual milk. God wants you to chew on it. God wants you to embrace growth. That is because He is depending on you. The world is going to suffer if you cannot step out to do what God wants you to do. If you cannot grow as a Christian, then many people will surround you with miserable situations. You cannot minister to them. Our Heavenly Father, there are many listening this day who can honestly say, Lord, my life is not what it needs to be. But thank you because your Holy Spirit keeps wooing us unto yourself. Thank you because you're not giving this information to bruise our hearts, but to draw us to yourself. So Lord, let your Spirit draw us to yourself. Speak to us in our inner circles, in our inner hearts. Lord, you know what hinders our spiritual growth. Lord, that those who are listening, whose hearts are crying out to you, may you reach out to them in your power. Reach out to them in your grace. Break the forces of evil. Lord, set them free that they will follow you. Give them that appetite. Give them the desire to follow the spiritual appetites that you put in their hearts, that they will be men and women of difference. Raise young people who will draw them, who will draw closer to you, those who will move under the influence and the power of the living God, those who will affect society, those who will affect homes, those who are going to affect other lives. Lord, we pray for your church today. May you raise men and women who will stand for the truth of God. May you raise men and women who will stand in power, who will rightly divide the word of God, those who will stand in spiritual growth, those who will stand in maturity to help everybody else. May you revive our church today. Revive our homes today. Revive our society today. Revive our lives today and give us the appetite to grow and to draw closer to you. We love you this day, for we have prayed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.